And he's only echoing what hundreds and thousands of Christians have done, and people in the end time move. Don't worry about those other people who have said, I can't object to the word. I can't object to what you're doing. I just can't pay the price. They're not willing to cash in for that one last pearl of great price, the gateway to the very presence of God. I want to tell you something. It's by invitation. We don't have to rehearse each one of these. Abraham heard a voice and heard an invitation. Get thee up and get thee out to a land that I will show you. That's the pattern. That's in Genesis 12. In Exodus 3, we have the account of Moses. In a very mundane, mediocre, average, commonplace kind of life, a demonstration of God's presence was made real to him, and a burning bush appeared. And you know what? Believe it or not, 189,000 people in Lubbock, Texas wouldn't recognize us as the burning bush. this meeting, it's disguised and camouflaged very well. But I want to tell you something. If they did recognize it as a burning bush, there are very few of them who would turn aside to come and see. I have one natural brother that has promised to come and see me for 18 years at Blueberry in Canada. He has all kinds of questions about what I'm doing up there. I don't have any question about what he's doing where he is, because I go see what he's doing. I have a little problem with my brother. For 18 years, he's been threatening to come. About 3 years ago, he almost came. You have to have some kind of interest. You have to be drawn aside. You have to take a look at the burning bush. You have to see this strange phenomena that God's doing. It's different and it's funny. It's not conventional. But that's why we were drawn. We were drawn by the funny and the not conventional. I want to tell you something. That didn't affect me in that first Lubbock convention. It did not. That barny, drafty, big old place out there wherever we met. Dear God. I'll tell you, there was something burning. There was a burning bush. There were people's natural, normal lives were on fire. I was drawn. I was attracted. I stepped aside to see what this was all about. When this man did so, and when you and I did so, we got a word. God spoke to us and called us. And Moses may have had his faults and may have had a few little moments. But I'll tell you one thing the man did. He continued faithful to his call. I'll tell you one thing about Abraham. Whatever you found in his life that you say, well, I would have done better than that. I'll tell you one thing. He did honor his call. He did keep with his call all the way to the end. He valued the call. He treasured the call. He kept the call. And you know very obviously that there are many others. Be very careful of your decisions these days. Don't let it be a trick. That's all. I personally believe this morning that maybe a new significance, just because of these few simple words, could be placed on our calling. A precious calling. A rare and dear calling. In 1 Corinthians 3, talks about something precious and valuable. Talks about things that are not valuable and not precious. And I believe the purpose in 1 Corinthians 3 is to help us see the value of the precious things in our lives.
Verse 12, and if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones.
Not talking about wood, hay, and stubble, because that is going to be burned up.
And if there was some way we could make a greater meaning out of your calling, if there could be a more precious value put on it. Many of us on the platform have had, I think, the experience at least of seeing some unusual things in our time. And one of the few things that I will go and see the second time or third time are the crown jewels of England. That's awesome. And I know that preachers are prone to exaggerate, and this may be considered an exaggeration, but that thing looked as big as my fist. That key stone made up the diadem of that absolutely beautiful crown. And there were more like that. That was just the beginning. But I want to tell you something this morning. If we take all those crown jewels out of there, magnificent, priceless. There's no way you could buy any of that. Absolutely priceless. And that's not the only crown jewels in the world, but those are magnificent. And say that you took that entire collection and you dismounted them from all their mountings and you piled them in a great heap. You got down on your hands and knees and went through that heap. And you found the most valuable, most precious jewel in that whole heap of crown jewels. You were able to take it up and hold it in your hands. That thing would have absolutely no value and no meaning whatsoever in comparison to the value of your calling in God this morning. Might as well be made of paste or glass. There is no similarity. But the Scripture did try to use something that we have in comparison. Or people that need to use comparisons. Just to have God of heaven, through His Holy Spirit, talk into your life in a voice you understand to be Him, is the most priceless, most valuable, most marvelous, most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you. More valuable than that, all the glitter, all the jewels and diamonds of the whole wide world, are calling when He says, come unto me. And He's done more than that for a lot of us. He's called us up higher. He's called us to walk deeper. He's called us to come closer. We can't treasure that this morning. We can't value that this morning. There's something locked up in us. There's something that needs to be released. Oh, Father of heaven, oh, Spirit of truth, come through this place like a wind. And loosen something and break something in the limitations of our own spirit until we can burst free. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. No embarrassment to turn our back on the world. Turn away from all that that appealed and drew, that was empty. And if we gained it all, if we gained the world, if we gained everything we ever hoped for or attained to, it would still be like a cotton in our mouth. It'd still be empty in our spirit. The wealthy have proven that. Those with much have proven that. It just doesn't value it. They lose their value for it. Don't ever envy those people. There's nothing there but ashes. If you're here this morning, you know Jesus. You love the Lord. You're beginning to embrace a message and an invitation to the Mary Supper of the Lamb, and an invitation to first resurrection, and an invitation to overcoming believing life, and an invitation to the kingdom of God, invitation to first fruits You're the most wealthy people ever upon the planet of any history. Wealth uncompared. Uncomparable wealth. You're so rich, you ought to just touch yourself. I'm serious. Because God of heaven, out of the millions and even billions today, chose to look down on your life and call you. Out of insecurity, in nothingness, obscurity, insignificance. You know what I've enjoyed about my life? Being common. That's great. I don't need any bodyguards.
Social secretary say, Mr. Clark, you have quite a few people out in the foyer wanting to see you. I don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to protect anything. Nothing to protect. We're not worrying about reputations. They don't count anyhow. Jesus wasn't worried about his reputation. He had quite a reputation, as a matter of fact. The thing you need to worry about is your character. The thing I need to worry about is my character. That's what really counts. Philippians 3. Sorry, I have to do this. Old-fashioned review. Because I don't think we've appreciated what these words mean enough. I believe that's why the Lord would use them again. Paul had an appreciation for these things. He knew where the real wealth was. He knew where the real values were. He said that I might know him, power of his resurrection. He knew where it was. He cast everything else aside. If he'd walked in here, doing some convention, the man that he was before he found Jesus, there wouldn't be anyone in this place with his class. None of us would have compared to the accomplishments of that man. He counted it, Brother Fred, you say it the best, but he just didn't put much value on it. What he could have been, or what he was, or what he came from. He valued only one thing, his calling to resurrection number one. And here's what he calls it. And here's what I don't think we've seen him in the power of what must have driven the man. I hope you see in the brethren and in the family of God, I hope you're seeing some people who seem to be motivated. It was like Jesus. He was driven in the wilderness, but he was also drawn into the wilderness. There's a passion. There's a fire burning in some people today in the move of God who are not going to be turned aside by anything because they have a focus and they have a purpose and they have a drawing and they have a goal. It's the same one that Paul had, Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. High calling! 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 You have this thing that no one else has quite like it. You have the unique call of God on you. Distinctive and individual to your own life. And you can look across a crowd like this and say, well, you know, they come from different places and they have different experiences and they have different gifts and they have different responsibilities and they have all kinds of different things. Some of them have elders and some of them have ministries and whatever. I tell you what, when you think that way, you downgrade your calling. Because every one of us in this room has one high calling, and that's to sonship. And that doesn't minimize it for anybody in the crowd. And we all have the equal necessity of fulfilling that calling. We have a high calling to be in resurrection number one. You have that calling. You stop and think about it. You have a calling to faithfulness. You have a calling to holiness.
We all have the same calling, and no one on this platform has any advantage over you in those callings. And if you fulfill those callings, you'll join the overcomers in rank number one. You don't have to put yourself down or put yourself back. Your calling is every bit as valid as anybody else. He wasn't looking at persons when he called us. Or I'll tell you something you already know, there wouldn't be some of us here. How many think you might not be here if he started looking at some kind of whatever we were worth? I'm here by a miracle of God. Not only his mercy, his miracle. The fact that I would listen to him, the fact that I heard that voice, is a miracle of God. And God called me in the hospital room in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and came as a brilliant light in that bedroom, that intensive care unit. I laid there nearly, not expected to live. When he came there, he made a proposition that I could go on doing what I was doing. A lot of people doubt this. They say, Brother John, you mean you can have your cake and eat it too? That's what he said. He said, you can go ahead and do that, and I'll bless you. Or if you will trust me, I have another way for you to go. And I didn't say, hot dogs, the best deal I've ever gotten. I can't afford to turn it down. I didn't have a clue what it was all about. And I can tell you it was the mercy of God, and the faithfulness of God, and the patience of God, that he kept dealing with me after that visitation in that room. And I'm here by a miracle of God. Oh, thank God, thank God. Thank God for such a calling. Such a calling. Such a calling. Jesus, my Lord. Thought it was kind of interesting that there's a scripture that kind of breaks these things down into terms. Revelation 17. I want to just use that and show you where this value is. Revelation 17, it gives a listing in verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are. And describes them with three words: called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. I was drawn by that. And there was a scripture that I was drawn to in this same score. In 2 Peter 1:10, it's already been mentioned in the convention, but there's a word there that keeps repeating itself over and over here and there, and I want us to see it this morning and show you where it fits in value, in a graduated value system. In 2 Peter chapter 1, laid out what the value would be of doing it God's way and doing it right. Verse 10 says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And you know that word election kind of popped up out of there. And there's a number of verses that deal with election. And I wondered in my searching how election fitted with called, chosen, and faithful. The people who are serious in God, the people who put a premium on their calling, come to another level. And that may be what God is doing in this convention. He's seeing how much value has been placed on our calling, so that he can make a vital decision. That is whether he will choose us. Now, you know what I discovered in taking a look at this? That election, when he says make your calling and election sure, do you know that these words can be used interchangeably? Do you know that people who value their calling, who walk in obedience, hearing the voice of God and not fail to do every word that he speaks, will find themselves in a most wonderful position of being chosen. You look up the word election for yourself. You know what it says? Selection. Election, selection. And in one place it says synonymous with being chosen.
I'll tell you, it takes a little bit to get to that point. That's not talking about inheritance. That is still yet another place. That is yet the end product of selection and election. People have a little problem saying, well, you're the selected, elected people. You bet. We're not going to back down on that. It just happens to be the way it is. But as Scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. It simply means that those who are not chosen haven't placed a premium on their calling. But being chosen doesn't guarantee you the inheritance. But I'll tell you what it does do for you. It makes you a candidate. Makes you a candidate. And we need to be very serious about our high calling. You know what gets you into the inheritance? The last word in that line. Isn't that interesting? The called, the chosen, and one other thing that's been hammered at us in this convention, and that is faithfulness to hear the voice of God and faithfulness to obey that voice of God. It's still the appeal of the Spirit. It's still the cry of the Spirit. It's still the emphasis of the Spirit. It's not going to change until the called will make their election sure. They will be chosen. And then their faithfulness will be proven to hear the voice of God and obey it implicitly. And they will come into the inheritance. That's the prize. When it's all said and done, that's the prize. Nothing much more to say. But I think key to this all, 2 Timothy 1:9. Key to it all. We just... If there was some way we could go from here with a new value. How many are already beginning to appreciate the fact that God of heaven called you where you were, out of what you were doing, out of insignificance, that he called David from the sheepfold, taking care of some sheep. Insignificant. Everybody else of any stature, of any promise, was already paraded before the prophet. And their qualifications were not what God was looking for. Isn't there somebody else? And as God looks at the church today across the world, their pomp and ceremony and their doctrine and their determined, you know, they're absolutely fossilizing. I believe God is saying, isn't there anybody else? The great, the mighty, the proper, the prospects have been paraded past. And God said, isn't there anyone else? Isn't there a humble? Isn't there a little remnant somewhere? Isn't there somebody somewhere who are walking in the beauty of holiness as we heard about last night? Walking in faithfulness to a calling. Did we ever read in wherever I said 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling? You want to get in trouble with God, you profane a holy thing. You profane your holy calling, you're going to be in trouble with God. It's a holy thing. It's a holy thing. It's a precious thing. It's worth more than that heap of the crown jewels of all the kingdoms of the world. I don't know if that heap would fill a platform, maybe. It's worth more than all that. Because it's a holy calling. 2 Thessalonians. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, right now, take these words I don't know how many times we've heard them, but take them again this morning and somehow put them into our spirit in a new way. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in them that believe because of a testimony. Wherefore also we pray always for you.
Well, you consider your calling. You consider your life today. When was it that you got down before the Lord or you stood somewhere and said, he can have my life and all of it, for better or worse, richer or poorer, good times and poor times, I commit myself to him alive and new today.
How many find out it's important once you get older to keep a strong commitment and direction in your call? God is calling out a message to you this morning. That's to make your calling and election sure.
Oh, I didn't answer the other question.
Why doesn't he use volunteers?
You know why? It's very simple, really, when you think about it. Volunteers choose to serve on their own terms.
The United States has a volunteer army. But I'll tell you what those guys do when they sign up. How much do I get paid and how long do I stay in this outfit? Right? And what school do I get to go to? Volunteers always set the limits to their commitment in time and effort and expense. Right?
Jesus had a few volunteers. He had one young guy came running to him and said, boy, I'm a volunteer. I'll do all this stuff you want done.
And Jesus said, great.
All right, just for starters,
go out and get rid of your bankroll.
Whoa!
So much for that volunteer, right? Just go sell all you have. Just give it away. Volunteers only serve on their own terms. That's why God can't use them. And there's one other reason why he can't use them. Because God happens to want to judge the response. Imagine God looking for a bride for his son. And so he goes to the church and he says, how many would like to be a bride for my son? Well, let me think about this. What's in it for me? You know, that would have to make his heart leap. Oh, yeah. Who could turn down a response like that? Have you ever asked somebody to do something for you and say, well, no, think about it. Just depends on what I'm doing then. I'll tell you what, that doesn't warm your heart. God is sending out an invitation today, and he's waiting for a proper response. The young man asked the lady to marry him. She said, well, I don't know. I've got 3 or 4 other guys I'm looking at. Call me back in a month. That doesn't do it. In all simplicity this morning, he's waiting for a bride who says, call me. Call me. I would run after you. The reason he invites is that he wants to consider the quality of the exception. Just because somebody else will speak this morning, I still believe the Spirit's going to deal with you. We'll wait right here as long as necessary to help anybody who says, I've been looking at my commitment since you've been talking. I've been looking at the call of God on my life since I've been talking. And I've disregarded it quite a bit. I've downgraded it. And the Lord has convicted me this morning, and I want to do something about it in this convention. I would run after him. Call
told me, Lord, I would run after you.
Well, I thought that was a good word for everybody here, myself included. If anybody has anything to share, you can step up now. Anybody here? Anybody in the room? Excuse me? Okay. Looks like Mom has something to share. I just want to say something about these guys. I play these tapes. Their doctrine was not perfect. They had problems. But the reason they're so anointed, the reason their messages are so anointed, is because those people gave up everything. They sold their houses. They gave the money to that group. They had nothing. They sold their houses. They left their jobs. They left their professions, doctors, lawyers. And they went and lived together to come forth in Christ. And God honored that. And it gave them an anointing that you'll never hear anywhere else.
Hi, everyone. Oh, that message really touched my heart. And I know that brother personally, and I sat under many of his messages, and I just am so thankful to God. 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. And Matthew 19:29 says, everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren or sisters, or father or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And you know, the Lord spoke to my heart through Jamie moving here this weekend. And when he says that everyone that forsaketh houses and lands stood out in my mind this week. And I thought, how many Americans would forsake their house or their land to go where God was directing them? And we walked with Jamie through this transition that the Lord asked him to make. And at times, doubt tried to enter in after showing his home to a dozen or more people with no perspectives. The Lord asked him to lower the price a few times, which he obeyed and did. And he bid on a few homes here, and it didn't work out. And after many months of perseverance, he sold his farm and bought a home here. And the Lord has blessed his efforts with life and peace this weekend. I can just feel the life and the peace that God's blessed him with for obeying him. And then when I pondered over his effort to move from there to here at the word of the Lord, and then I wondered how many Christians would leave their houses and lands, would leave their comfort zone at the word of the Lord. You know, one of the dreams of Americans is to own their own home. And sometimes their houses and lands become their idols. Their house and land become far more important to them than God. They really love and sometimes almost worship their houses and their lands. I wonder if that's why God is allowing so many people in America to lose their homes and lands through foreclosure. When we as a nation forget God, and we have, bad things are bound to happen. Open your eyes and your ears, America, and see and hear what God is saying. Instead of burying your heads in the ground like an ostrich and not being at all interested in what God is bringing forth in this nation. And, you know, listening to this message really, really touched my heart. And I just want to thank the Lord. I'm not trying to uphold Jamie, but I do want to thank the Lord that he was willing to press in and lay down, give up his house and his land and his life and at the word of the Lord, and seek righteousness, and because he was hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and God is fulfilling that righteousness in him. God is doing a work in him. And I'm only saying this to illustrate what God wants to do in all of us. He wants us to lay this message we just heard. Add anything to what this message just said. But take this message to heart and ask God if he wants you to lay something down to make your eternal life more important towards him. That's about it. Shalom.
Amen. Well, I know why we're having troubles tonight with the system, because this is getting down and dirty. This is where the rubber hits the road. This kind of word, the devil does not want God's people to hear. It's okay, we're talking about doctrine. When it gets down to losing your home, that's a whole different story. We need to check. Make sure that the call is more important than everything else. We're not going to make it. We are not going to make it. There's only one way in. There's no shortcuts. There's no exceptions. I pay the same price. Okay? Amen. Anybody have anything else to share? I don't want to talk a lot after that message. Okay. Well, I guess we'll shut her down for tonight. I'm going to put this back up. And, let's do it again, because it was cutting in and out all night tonight. And that's the devil. When God wants to speak a serious, serious word to somebody or to anybody, the devil's always in there to play games and try and stop it. Okay? Alrighty. Well, thanks for coming, guys. And pray for us up here. We got a lot of things going. We stay in the Lord's will, and we help the people who need help. Alright? We'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.